You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome one and all to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. He is Anthony Pusick. How are you, sir?
Doing good, Donnie. What about you?
I'm doing well. There's a lot of different things going up in the air. We made a decision before recording the podcast. We're going to shelve the power rankings for the week for this week.
Who are you taking out?
It's getting a little redundant, and there hasn't been a ton of games this week because of the All-Star, so you know, most teams haven't played since last Saturday, so there's not going to be really many changes in my mind moving forward. So we'll do it next Friday. That sounds good?
I think that sounds good. There wasn't enough teams that were in our top five to change anything that played from Monday through Wednesday, really,
right?
And the weekend. It would very much look the same. Maybe there's a slight difference in the fifth team, but there's so much going on, Don. We have two big trades. We've got the All-Star skills, All-Star game. We have so much to talk about.
Yeah, we'll get into all that All-Star stuff a little bit later on, but a couple of big deals. One that just came down moments before we started recording. I guess it's not technically official yet, but Darren Drager's reporting it. Elliot Friedman's reporting it. It's everywhere that it's pretty much a done deal.
Pierre LeBrun was on it, I believe, as well.
Yeah, so it's everywhere now. So it's all pretty much done, where a conditional first round pick goes to Montreal for Sean Monahan, and he's headed to the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, it looks like a first and a conditional.
Yeah, it's first and a conditional. So yeah, that's exactly. So good job out of you. It's great for both teams. Really, both deals we're going to talk about, I think, are outstanding for both teams. But we'll start with the fresh one. Canadians are obviously, even though they're technically still alive, they're in a rebuild. To be able to get a first-round pick and a conditional pick for a guy that wasn't a part of their future, good job out of Montreal, and a terrific job out of the Winnipeg Jets. They're clearly all in, and why wouldn't they be, to see if they can see this through. And they've got a lot to contend with within their division with Dallas and Colorado, and then you look at what Vancouver's doing in the Pacific Division. It's going to be tough sledding, but I think when you've got a chance to go for it, especially when you're Winnipeg Jets, Anthony, where it's not exactly a destination for free agents, Kevin Cheveldayoff has got to strike while the iron's hot. They're not that far removed from the conference final appearance back in 2018. They have some of the same pieces, but they're playing so well. Hullabuck's not getting any younger. They re-upped with Hullabuck during the offseason in Shifley. They feel like they've got a team that can make a run here, and Monahan is just going to add to everything that they already have. I think it's a home run, really, for both teams.
Yeah, official now. The Jets have tweeted it out. Sean Monahan for a 2024 first and a 2027 conditional third. Don't know what the condition is. I'm sure it has something to do, like it always does, with if you make this far into the playoffs, that third becomes a second, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. But that's also done when you take a look at it. Just to react, of course, two teams get better, and we'll get into the other trade a little bit later on. Two teams get better by trading for centers, and that takes two of your top centers off the board if you're a team like the Avalanche or the Rangers that are looking for a center. Good trade, as you said, by Montreal, because Monahan was not going to be part of the future. You get a first round pick out of it, you accrue some assets to make your team better, and for the Jets it builds off of what is already a very strong forward core. Now you have a guy in Monahan who can kind of be your third line center, and can produce kind of like a top six if he when he's playing his best. And he's also a great puck doku guy now, because that's three Canadian teams he's on,
right?
Or he's been on, I should say. So that's always nice for us when we play. I think it's a nice deal by them. Seeing a lot of reports that, you know, they had to strike quickly. I think Greg Wyshynski tweeted out that, of course, they missed out on Elias Lindholm, who we're going to discuss here in a little bit. So they had to figure they have to get the next best thing. And I guess you could argue that Monahan was the next best center available in the trade market. So they get a guy. They get a guy who they think can help improve their team and keep them atop the West. Nice trade by them. I say decent return for Montreal.
Yeah, because you look at the roster, they've got a ton of centers, the Winnipeg Jets, but nobody that actually plays the position, right? I mean, Velarde can play center, but he's better off at the right wing. Iafallo can play center, he's better off at the right wing. Perfetti, same thing. He's better off on the left. So you look up, you know, Nemestikov at times has been asked to be their top line center. You know, Lowry is a good, he's the captain of the team. He's a good player. But, you know, this is a guy that plugs right in as your number one center. You can play him with Vilardi or Connor. You can play him with Perfetti and Ehlers. He's going to be great on the power play. It's exactly what the Winnipeg Jets absolutely needed. And to me, it's worth the pick. It really is. Spot on for both teams, and I think this really helps Winnipeg. They were fading just a bit before the break, dropped down to third place in the Central Division. You know the firepower Dallas has, especially Colorado. I love what they did here. I really did. Now, if you're not going to fall to the wild card, but let's say you don't win the division, you get bounced in the first round, you'll probably regret the deal. But I love going for it. Good job out of Kevin Cheveldayoff, and a good job by Montreal getting this done. Terrific.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree 100%. The other trade, however, seemed interesting to me because of the haul that was given up by Vancouver to get Elias Lindholm from Calgary. If you want to talk about value trades, I think that Winnipeg did a very nice job in just having to trade a first-round pick and a conditional. Now, of course, Elias Lindholm, a better player than Sean Monahan. When you take a look at what the Vancouver Canucks gave up, Don, I know they're going for it. So really, Winnipeg saw Vancouver getting better and said, we have to kind of counter here because they are two of the best teams. We've had them as 1, 2, or 3 in the top five seemingly for about a month and a half now. And they both see themselves as kind of going to a collision course here to the Western Conference Final if everything shakes out the way that it could. Vancouver gets better. Winnipeg gets better. Vancouver, though, gives up a lot more in the Elias Lindholm deal than Winnipeg does to get Sean Monahan.
Yeah, there's no question. But again, you're getting a top-line center.
Yes.
And just like Vancouver, you've got tons of guys that can score. But really, outside of JT Miller, no one that can really play the natural center position. So you could put Lindholm with Mikhaev and Pettersson, and now you've got Miller with Besser and Suter. That's as good a top two pair lines as you have in the league. And I'm a Kuzmetko guy. He had 39 goals last year, but he was struggling this year. What was it, 8 goals I think he's had, so he was definitely showing that maybe last year was an aberration, but it's worth Calgary to see if they can get him back to potentially being a 40 goal scorer. You get the first round pick, you get the conditional fourth round pick, you get a couple of prospects including D-men, which is something everybody's looking for to add to their farm system. So I love what Calgary did. They were not winning, and so go out and try to bolster yourself. And you get a guy that's played in the National Hockey League, almost scored 40 goals last year, that can plug right in, so you're not embarrassing yourself this year and still be competitive this year and maybe hang on to a possible playoff spot until you maybe deal off Markstrom and Hanifin and then completely give up by the time you get to the All-Star break. So I love what Calgary did, but I also like what Vancouver did. Is one of the best teams in the NHL. It's been a long time since they've been competing for a Stanley Cup. You got to go back to 2011 when they went to the final against Boston when they lost that game 7 at home. They've got to feel like they're a good enough team, Anthony, to do it. So I really love what both did here. Yes, Vancouver gave up a haul, but I think they feel like it's worth it. Because unlike Winnipeg, that's not sure that they can even win their division, I like still what they did. Vancouver's got to feel like this solidifies the Pacific. This solidifies us as really competing for the one seed, get home ice the entire length of the playoffs possibly, and really win a cup. So while Winnipeg's trying to make a run, I think Vancouver made a statement to say, I think we're good enough to win a Stanley Cup here, and we're not going to let anything stand in our way.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought it was a deal that they had to make if they wanted to keep themselves as one of the best teams in the West, because teams are, no, without a doubt, Don, going to get better. We talked about it, how it's kind of a logjam at the bottom of the West, but the top of the West is a shark tank, essentially. No pun intended, because the Sharks are at the bottom of the West, but those teams could eat each other alive. Winnipeg, mm-hmm. Vancouver, Vegas, Dallas, Colorado. That's 5 teams that you can, if at the end of the year you say, you know what, they made it to the Stanley Cup, you're like, you know what, I could see that. So this is a guy who everybody kind of thought was one of the top trade targets, a guy that if Vancouver wanted and had the money could extend if he plays well. This isn't not necessarily just a move for 1 year for them, but it certainly bolsters them at the moment for a team that I already, as I've told you, is the best offense in hockey, in my opinion. It's a great move. I wish, you know, as a Ranger fan, you wish that you could get somebody like Lindholm, but you take a look at the haul that they gave up, and that's a Vancouver team, as you said, Don, that's looking at Cup, thinking this is a team that could win the Cup. I'm not saying the Rangers don't think they could win the Cup, but you take a look at the way they've played over the last couple, and you think to yourself, wow, maybe we're a little farther away than we thought, or maybe we're not one piece away. So trading away two prospects, two picks, possibly a guy like Kako to get rid of a pick and a prospect out of that, I don't know if that overall makes your team better or helps you in the long haul, especially because you don't have the money to extend Lindholm. So this is another rental situation, which is why you keep hearing that this trade deadline is going to look a lot like the Kopp-Vetrano trade deadline, minus maybe an Andrew Kopp. Where, yeah, we're going to get some guys that aren't expiring contracts, but they're also guys that we don't think we're going to be able to retain for all intents and purposes. Well, so we may not give up as much as other teams are willing to, and that might put them on the outside looking in.
It's so interesting because you look at the East and you look at the need that Boston maybe has at center. Certainly the Rangers need it, so the West strengthens themselves. But maybe Monahan would have made more sense than Lindholm because you wouldn't have had to give up as much.
I would have been fine with a first and a conditional and third.
And also, Lindholm to me is a top six center. So I mean, you bumping Zibanejad? Are you bumping Trocheck?
No.
So Monahan to me would fit better on the third line than Lindholm would, and it would be a little cheaper. So, but I guess, like you said, you know, do you want to give up a first round pick? You know, and it's a tough thing to do for a player that, you know, you don't maybe have long term. It's I don't think we can look at the Rangers not doing these moves as thinking they're not good enough to win. It just but I don't know what else there's going to be out there. What other centers can they get now that are going to cost any differently than the two of them off the board over the last 48
hours. That's what makes you a professional and me a hack. Maybe I don't mean that the Rangers don't think they can win. Of course, the way they started, I'm sure they believe that they can win the Stanley Cup. But is trading the haul that you, and somewhere in between what Sean Monahan and Elias Lindholm cost for somebody like Adam Henrique, is that going to move the needle for somebody? Is Ryan Hartman going to move the needle? I don't know.
Well,
so that or enough to say, you know what, it's worth it.
Am I looking to move the needle, Anthony, or am I looking to just say, listen, if I get Hartman, if I get Henrique and I put him on the third line, am I any really different than a healthy Filip Hedl?
No.
At least for this year.
And how much better are you than having Johnny Brodzinski on that line?
Much better.
So,
because Brodzinski doesn't score. I mean, I like him, but listen, they're not as productive as you'd like them to be. I mean, Johnny Brodzinski's a great story. He can fly, but he doesn't have any finish at all. Now, you could say, well, he's playing the center, trying to make players around him better. But I think that Adam Henrique playing third-line center for the Rangers would be better than Brodzinski? I do. Do I think Hartman would be better than Brodzinski? I do.
Kevin Hayes would be better. Ryan Strome would be better. Magic Gorello on the wing would be better. Let's just bring back the 2012 team.
It's funny that you say that. So center becomes obviously a need with Hedl being done for the year. They still probably have to address the right wing. I think we brought up on Wednesday the conversations about Kako possibly being dealt. See, that might be a situation where do you give up a Kako for a Hartman? Do you give up a Kako for a Hedl? Do you try to get
how much more are you giving up
Toronto together? And then how much would you have to give Anaheim to get both of those players? Vetrano, by the way, that scored the last goal before the break.
Yes.
In that game we said we wouldn't watch and end up getting suckered into watching in overtime to beat the San Jose Sharks. But the work has to be done here. It just has to. Look, we mentioned on Wednesday about the possibility of Anderson coming back in goal for Carolina. They're only 2 points back of the Rangers for the Metropolitan Division. So there's work that has to be done there.
Look, Frank Vetrano fit beautifully for this Rangers team. Now, he's got a cap hit of 3.65 for this year and next year, I believe. That can fit. That could work depending on what you're moving. If you're the Rangers, and he was a playoff performer for this team, quite frankly, the two biggest playoff performers on that run that they made with Gerard Gallant 2 years ago ended up leaving in Kopp and Vetrano. And they kind of buoyed that offense, and now you've got a much... I mean, can you imagine Frank Vetrano on the top line with Mika Zibanejad? and Chris Kreider. I mean, that would be significantly better than what they're doing. And look, Blake Wheeler, as much as we've given him flack and a lot of Ranger fans have given him flack, if he keeps up on this pace, he can get close to 20 goals. And he's making under $1 million. So, you know, this is not exactly, you know, a guy that you thought was going to put up 40 goals like he used to in his younger Winnipeg days. He's on a third line with Will Cooley, who's kind of coming to his own, and whichever center they end up getting or just sticking with Johnny Brodzinski. I think you feel a little better about the Rangers nine with that.
And I think I think something will come sooner than later.
Donnie Insiders.
Yeah, well, listen, I just, there's no way that Chris Drury is going to stay back.
He knows people.
I think he knows to make a deal. How significant it will be, when it will be, we'll have to see. No East team has made any kind of splash here. It's both in the West, so it hasn't affected any of the teams in the East just yet, but should be interesting. We go right back to work on Monday with the Rangers taking on the Avalanche, so we go right back to work pretty soon. The Michael Kay Show is going to be out at UBS next Thursday.
That'll be fun.
For the Islander game, looking forward to that, so we're going to be out and about.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The weekend is all about the skills competition and the All-Star game this weekend before we get back to work on Monday. So I guess let's dive into what's happening in Toronto the next couple of days.
Yeah, well, tonight on the ESPN proper, 7 p.m., you'll find the All-Star Skills Challenge. Now, Don, if you remember correctly, when this got announced, and this was a McDavid creation, right? This was a Connor McDavid creation of how this is going to go. There's going to be 8 events. In the first 6 events, the 12 participants have to participate in 4 of the events. They get points, and then when they get to the 7th event, the top eight, will participate in the one-on-one challenge against the goalies. And then the top 6 point earners after the 7 rounds will participate in the last round, which is the obstacle course. So, the one thing I wanted to do before we even got to this, because I think what we should do, Don, because this is fun, Tommy P wanted us to kind of give our predictions and bets and things of that nature. It's going to be hard for us because you and I both know math is not our strong suits.
Right.
To then go based on the point system for every single one of these things, because it comes down to first gets 5 points, second gets 4 points, third 3, fourth 2, fifth 1, sixth or lower 0 in the first 7 events. To calculate all that while we're doing this show, we'd be here till 3. We'll miss the K show. It'd be a whole big thing.
Right.
I think if we at least just pick our winners for each of these events, I think that'll make the fans happy. And then once we get to the others, listen, like, there's nothing we could do. Like, we could see who we think based on how many times we've said somebody's going to win something if they're going to make it. And the more that they win, the better chance they have of winning the $1 million prize at the end. So I think we'll do it that way. But before we even do any of that, on December 18th, when this was announced, you and I picked our dream skills challenge with the 12 participants. So you want to hear how close we got to getting it right?
Yes.
All right, here we go. McDavid, Dreisaitl, Matthews, Jack Hughes, Pastrnak, MacKinnon, Makar, Quinn Hughes, Jack Eichel, Sidney Crosby, Nikita Kucherov, Connor Bedard. I'd like to make some addendums here.
Okay.
Here's the participants, Don. Pastrnak, MacKinnon, Makar, Dreisaitl, McDavid, Matt Barzell, Kucherov, Matthews, Nylander, Pedersen, Hughes, and JT Miller. Jack Hughes was going to participate. That counts.
Yes. So that put Barzell in there.
I would venture to guess that if Connor Bedard was healthy, he also would have participated.
No question.
I don't know that to be entirely true. Don, we only got like 1 or 2 of these off.
I know. We did well.
That's pretty good for us.
I like it.
It seems like we have a good understanding of what people would want to see.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, the names we have, this is going to be a lot of fun.
There's
a lot of talent on the ice for these things.
It's a lot of good. And there's a little celebrities. Is The team Hughes, Michael Bublé, is going to be their celebrity captain.
Yeah, he was doing shrooms last night. You hear that?
What was that?
He's doing shrooms last night. Did you hear that?
No, I did not hear that.
And somebody asked him after they did the picks, what makes you qualified to be a celebrity captain? And he talked about all the fantasy teams he was on. And said, also, my buddy said he only gave me a little bit of mushrooms, but that was a lie. So he might have been high while he was
helping good for him.
Yeah, good for him, right?
So, the team Matthews is Jim Montgomery as the head coach.
Yeah.
And the celebrity captain is Justin Bieber.
That's very nice.
The McKinnon, it's Rick Bonus as the head coach, and Tate McRae as the celebrity captain. Now, I was not familiar with her work, but Anthony...
You have become familiar.
...about her, and I'm very familiar, and I'm a fan.
We're going to call that the Colorado team, by the way, not just because it's McKinnon, but because they have Georgiev and Makar.
Yeah, so that's right.
And the Matthews team is essentially the Toronto team. You've got Mitch Marner, and you've got William Nylander. And Igor team, is the goalie.
There you go. And then McDavid is going to be Peter Laviolette as the head coach, and Will Arnett as the celebrity
captain. And that's
captain.
The Edmonton team, just because they have McDavid and Draisaitl.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sam Reinhardt, who's got, like, what, 38 goals and, oh.
But some of these teams, look interesting. I like the 3-on-3. That's going to be fun. Now, also on that Igor team with Team Matthews is Matt Barzell. And I believe Tate McRae's team has our boy Vinny Trocheck.
Okay.
But I can't seem to find him right now on this list.
There he is. He's in the Matthews team.
The Matthews team. Okay, so he's on Bieber's team. No, actually, you know what? That's the Toronto Rangers team. Trocheck's also with the Maple Leaf boys.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that. So that's going to be interesting. So Don, while we do this, let's go through. I have in front of me who's going to participate in what events for tonight's skills challenge. Okay.
Okay.
So the first one, as it always seems to be, is fastest skater. You've got William Nylander, Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar, Matt Barzell, Connor McDavid. Who do you got winning that?
Well, I'm going to go with Makar.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to go with McDavid.
Yes. Those are the two obvious selections.
Yep.
So I'm glad we nailed both of them. We'll see. So
yep.
I'm not going to go with a favorite, so I'll go with Makar.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just, that's, you know, again, could we have gone 1 through 5 guys? Yes. But you know what? Just deal with the winner. We'll figure out the rest. Maybe me and Don can win you guys some money. Tim Hortons NHL One-Timers. That's the next event. More people participating. Elias Pettersson, Nate McKinnon, Leon Draisaitl, Nikita Kucherov, JT Miller, Austin Matthews, Matt Barzell, and David Pastrnak.
Hmm. I'm going to go Kucherov.
You know, I was going to do that too. So I think we're in lockstep. I was thinking of other people, but I was thinking Kucherov too, so I think I'm going to go with that. So we think the winner for the one-timers will be Kucherov. The passing challenge. Again, a lot of guys. McKinnon, Nylander, Makar, Barzell, Miller, Kucherov, Hughes, McDavid, Pettersson, Matthews, Draisaitl. This is the Scotiabank NHL Passing Challenge.
I will go
challenge.
With McDavid.
You're going to go with McDavid?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to go with McDavid. I am going to go a little different. I am going to go with William Nylander.
Okay.
There's going to be one of these. The Toronto faithful are going to...
What about him, too? Yeah.
They're going to back up their guys on some of these things. I think that he will win the passing challenge. Hardest shot. Matthews, Makar, Pastrnak, Miller, and Pettersson.
Miller, Pettersson, Pastrnak. Who else?
Makar and Matthews.
Hmm.
I'm going to go with Elias Pettersson.
Mm-hmm. I will as well.
Okay.
That's
all right.
What
I like
I was
that.
About.
All right, we haven't had multiple winners yet in anything.
Okay.
I believe. I don't think. No, we have not. NHL stick handling: Quinn Hughes, Connor McDavid, Elias Pettersson, Nikita Kucherov, Leon Draisaitl, Nathan McKinnon, David Pastrnak, Matt Barzell, and William Nylander. Mm-hmm. I'm going McDavid.
Yeah,
because he's
agree.
Just a monster.
Yeah.
So we got that. So we've got Connor McDavid there. Cheetos NHL accuracy shooting. Now this is the last one before we start to chip away at the top 12, and only the top 8 will remain. Accuracy shooting. Kucherov, Makar, McDavid, Hughes, Miller, Pastrnak, McKinnon, Nylander, Draisaitl, Matthews.
Matthews.
I'm going to go with McKinnon.
Okay.
So it seems like McKinnon and Matthews are going to be guys that are probably going to make it to the next 2 rounds at least. Here's what we're going to do for the Hyundai NHL one-on-one. So whoever makes it then gets to pick the goalie they get to shoot against. The goalie with the most saves in round 7 or event 7 gets $100,000.
Okay.
So let's just say, Don, who do you think is going to have the most saves? Swayman, Georgiev, Ottinger, Bobrovsky, Talbot, Shesterkin, Demko, or Hellebuck? Who's $100,000 richer as a result of participating?
You know, it's just a gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see him totally being into this, would be Hellebuck.
Okay. I'm going to go with Bobrovsky. Basically for the same reason that you said. Because I feel like he's going to have fun with this. And the more fun you have sometimes, the crazier it gets. Because you get those acrobatic saves that you're really not supposed to get.
right.
on these one-on-ones. So I could see that being a lot of fun.
And I could see Igor giving up a bad goal and then just be like, crap.
And look, this could be a little hokey.
Right.
I totally get it. And also, you have to take into account on this too, Don. Do you have a feeling that anybody who participates in this, like Pasternak's going to want to go against Swayman?
Or no.
Like McKinnon and McCarthy, they're not going to go against their guys?
I don't think so.
No, I think that would be fun.
It would be, but I don't think they're going to want to do it.
Okay. All right. I think that's what we're going to see. But I got to tell you, and I know that this has kind of been hokey for a lot of people, and the old school NHL fans kind of roll their eyes. This one's a little different. There's $1 million on the line. Everybody seems to be in it. Nobody really backed out of this thing. It didn't seem like there was somebody that's like, I'll participate in the All-Star game, but I don't really want to do this. This seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's probably, out of the 12, I'd say 11 or 10 of them are in the top 15 in the National Hockey League in terms of talent.
Well, here's what I like about it. Because we've had these drafts before for the actual games, you know, with the NHL and certainly the NBA with these teams. But for the skills competition, because finally I did relent and I did watch that We Are the World documentary that Michael Kay.
Oh, thank the Lord. Have mercy.
Finally got that out of the way.
Now we have a lead for $3.
And, you know, when Quincy Jones calls you and Lionel Richie calls you and says, we want you to be a part of this event, you feel like you take a lot of pride in being invited. You know, you're already at the All-Star game and then you're just picking teams. It seems silly, but I think from a skills competition standpoint, there's a lot of pride in like being selected and wanting to do well. And so I think that these guys are going to be completely engaged tonight, and it's in a hockey town like Toronto. I'm on board, man. I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to tune in. Our company does a great job with this.
And yes.
It's in a beautiful city of Toronto, which I've never been to. But, Don, you've always told me great things. Obviously, hockey huge up in Canada, huge in Toronto. Like, I feel like the atmosphere is going to be good. Even just for picking the All-Star participants in the way that the game's going to shake out for with the captains and everything, everyone kind of seems to be on board. Bieber was into it. Tate McRae was into it. Will Arnett. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Now, taking a look at the rosters that you beautifully mentioned for the All-Star Game festivities, which, of course, will be on Saturday, 3 p.m., ABC, ESPN+, the mothership. The game will be divided into three 20-minute games, tournament rules, four teams competing, blah, 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 blah. Who do you like to win it all?
I am going to say, based on the goaltending.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with Team McDavid.
Okay.
I think Hullabuck and Bobrovsky are better than Swayman, Georgiev, Ottinger, Shesterkin right now, Demko, and Talbot.
Yep.
So I am going to go, because, you know, and listen, you can't go wrong with a team that's got Connor McDavid on it So and Leon Draisaitl.
Yep.
So that's going to be a huge combination. I think Boone Jenner could also have some fun in this one, too. But that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Team McDavid, coached by Peter Laviolette, and celebrity captain Will Arnett.
I am going to go with, and this is probably not going to work for me, because usually the guys that produce the best offensively usually let other guys during the All-Star game participate and do well. I'm going to go with Team Hughes, because they've got basically the entire Vancouver team outside of now Elias Lindholm. Rick Tocchet's their coach, so he already knows which buttons to push with them.
Sure.
Frank Vetrano's had a tremendous year, and I do like Demko. Talbot makes me a little nervous in an All-Star game just because, I don't know, like, first of all, none of these goalies are going to participate spectacularly. We all know that. I think Brady Tkachuk can have some fun in this game. I'm going to go with Team Hughes.
Love it. Good job.
I thought this was fun, Don. This was good.
So let's see what we got, what you guys are chatting about
on
social media, at Don LaGreca, at hashtag game misconduct, and at Anthony Pusick
That's
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy says, can either Matthews or Nylander pull the upset and win the skills competition for the home crowd? Odds are right for picking, if you believe, plus 1,000 to plus 1,200 on my end. Yeah, I mean, it'd be worth it. I mean, usually there's always kind of a for the hometown crowd that maybe there's a Nylander and Matthews can get it going. There's nothing wrong with Austin Matthews from a skill standpoint. So
yep.
I think that with those kinds of odds, I would probably, you know, pick Matthews over Nylander, but I think both would be good bets.
Yeah, by the way, on ESPN Bet, Team Hughes plus 280 to win the All-Star game, Team McDavid plus 265, tied with Team Matthews for the best odds.
Mm-hmm.
So they clearly think it's going to be Matthews and McDavid reaching the finals, with Hughes and McKinnon on the outside looking in. All-Star game winners, yeah. Look, me and you, Don, we mentioned a couple different guys. I'll actually put out our predictions for who's going to win each thing on our social media, just for fun. Look, sure. we named McKinnon, we named Matthews, we named McDavid. Like, I think you're going to see out of the top six the guys that you expect. Right now on ESPN Bet, it's McDavid, Makar, Matthews, McKinnon, Pastrnak, and Kucherov in that order as the top six most likely to win this thing. William Nylander and Draisaitl, that's shocking to me. William Nylander and Leon Draisaitl have the longest odds. Matt Barzell has better odds than Draisaitl and Nylander. That's interesting. I could see Nylander making at least the seventh event and then possibly making it as top six point earner. You want to put some coin on Matthews or Nylander, I wouldn't be mad at you for it. If I had to pick a winner, yeah, I'd go with Matthews. Why not? Let the hometown kids win.
So let's do it. Let's bet it.
Let's do it. I'm not as scared.
No?
No, I'm not as scared. Fastest skater McDavid is the favorite. Cal Makar is plus 425, by the way. Who's your pick? So that's nice for you.
Yeah.
I like that.
Let's bet it.
I'm in.
Sean says, with Lindholm and Matthews and Monahan off the board, what would it take for the Rangers to acquire Boone Jenner? 3.75 a year, lock through next year. Hopefully I don't make Anthony deeply sigh today. Now, listen, I like Boone Jenner a lot. I mean, I think he's got leadership skills, can play on the power play, he's a big kid. I wouldn't be mad at that. I think it would cost a lot considering he's got another year left on his deal, so Columbus wouldn't necessarily have to deal him. So I don't know. I would do that, but
Well, the other thing you have to take into account, Don, is you would imagine the hope is that Hedel comes back right now. The Rangers have the cap space they do right now because Hedel's on LTIR. The issue that you run into then is if Hedel comes off of LTIR, which would be a good problem to have because he's a great player and a young kid, and you hope he's healthy. Then you have Hedel, Trocheck, Zibanejad, and Boone Jenner down the center, but that's a lot of money devoted to just your center position. You'd have to think that Kako's going the other way on that deal. You have to think that the Barkley-Goudreau contract has to come off the books in order to make that money work. And I know Chris Drury thinks about that a heck of a lot more than I do, and I'm not saying that you don't try and trade for somebody in the hopes that, you know, just say, oh, I got to make how am I going to make this money work? They'd find a way, and Boone Jenner would be a nice addition. It would probably cost Kako. It would probably cost a draft pick. I don't know their appetite to be trading guys like Othman and Soroka down in the AHL. I personally wouldn't trade any of the top prospects away. Gabe Perreault, I wouldn't be trading him away for a rental. I know that I'd still consider Jenner a rental in the sense that I don't view him in the long-term future of this team. It really does depend on what the price would be. And now with those two guys gone, yesterday's price is not today's price. So you can expect a higher price. And if it's more than Kako and a pick, I'm not sure that I'm going to be giving up that just for Boone Jenner.
Now, I don't know if you have the sounder there, but we have breaking news.
Ooh!
The Los Angeles Kings have parted ways with their head coach, Todd McClellan.
Wow!
He is out.
Oh, my.
By the way, the highest paid coach in the National Hockey League. I had a feeling that might be the next firing. The Kings have grossly underachieved. They've been awful at home. They've been in free fall over the last month or so. So Jim Hiller is going to take over on an interim basis.
That's
breaking as of noon today.
Well, I got to tell you, Don, that is, to me, I know that they were struggling. That's kind of shocking to me. I guess that's the only explanation as to why they've struggled so much, right? And if it was, you know, Gerard Gallant still with the Rangers, that'd probably be the situation that they'd be in right now with how they've been struggling. But of course, Laviolette's a new coach for the Rangers, so you're not gonna make a change halfway into a season with him. But wow, Todd McClellan, a good coach, but yeah, I guess the Kings saw that they weren't getting what they thought out of him, and now they have changed coaches. I have to go back and look. There's a lot of in-season coaching changes this year in the National Hockey League.
Well, listen, you take a look at the landscape of the West. Now, I don't know if they were motivated by the deals that were made today, but like the Kings, their chances of making a run here have been grossly reduced, right? I mean, so you look at what Vancouver's done, you look at what Winnipeg's done, you see how good Colorado and Dallas are. Edmonton is the hottest team in the National Hockey League. Where do the Kings stand right now? Now you go from maybe we can make a run, compete for a Stanley Cup with the highest paid coach in the NHL to are we even going to make the playoffs?
Hopefully we hold on, right?
You know, so it's pretty clear. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Hiller's an interim coach, so that means they are looking for another coach. We keep talking about this and talking about this. At what point does Joel Quenneville become non-toxic that you can bring him in? There's talent with the Kings. If you want to try to get the most out of a team, it has enough time passed here where you say, I'm going to bring in Joel Quenneville.
I'd say clearly no, because we've had so many coaching changes this year already, and I haven't heard his name once.
No,
have
you? But you've made up. Again, you're paying him a lot of money. You make the change in season. You hire an interim, so it's not like, you know, you went out and hired a replacement. So obviously, you are still looking for a coach of the coaches that are available to you,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like you have enough there that you can make the playoffs and do something. Unless they don't think they can, and if that was the case, I don't know why you would just wait till the offseason to make this move. So they obviously want to do something. Is that a coach that you feel like you can handle the PR hit? Has enough time gone by, or do you say, nah, we're not going to do this? So who else is available?
Lane Lambert.
Babcock is just as toxic as Joel Quenneville
is. Yeah, I think the Mike Babcock ship has sailed.
Right. So is there anybody out there?
Well, you know, this league loves to do the coaching washing machine, Don. So whoever just got let go, let's start taking a look at them and seeing, you know, I know that Craig Berube was just on the TNT broadcast on Wednesday. Maybe they give him a call.
Yeah, maybe. Listen, that's not a bad thought because of the fact of what he was able to do when he took over in St. Louis back in 2019.
Does Bruce Boudreaux still have an interest in coaching?
He probably does. Yeah, we got to ask EJ on Monday because they're close.
Oh, because he doesn't.
Listen, I thought he got a raw deal in Vancouver. I think that everything Vancouver is doing now, they could have done with Bruce Boudreaux. I don't want to take anything away from Rick Tocchet.
Strong.
But I like Bruce Boudreaux. I mean, I know that older coaches, whatever, but he did a great job in Washington. He did a good job in Anaheim. I think he deserved a better fate in Vancouver. I'm bullish on him. I would do that. If I were the Kings, you brought up Berube. I'll bring up Boudreaux. That's a direction that I would go.
I got more breaking news for you.
I love it.
Chris Johnston up in Canada says, in addition to the 2025 Four Nations tournament, which apparently the NHL is going to announce, the NHL and NHLPA will announce a return to the 2026 Olympics this afternoon, per sources.
Oh.
Italy will have hockey with the best of the best. That's exciting. Let's go to Italy, Don.
So players, NHL players,
mm-hmm.
are eligible to play in the 2026 Olympics.
That is what Chris Johnston's hearing per his sources. I believe the NHL and NHLPA have their, you know, mid-season call that they always do during the All-Star game, during All-Star festivities. And it looks like that's going to be announced. Boy, this is a very exciting day.
There's a lot going on.
I'm so glad we have this podcast to talk about it all.
Yeah, because I don't know how much of it we'd get to on the K show. But it's not nothing. So how do you feel about NHL players in the Olympics?
I like it. I think it's fun. I also do enjoy seeing the younger guys and the college guys and the non-NHLers get a chance to represent their country. To me, if the players want to do it, I'm all for what the players want to do. But if the NHL is saying that this is not something that we want to do in the best interest of our league, I can understand it from that perspective as well. But I would watch it, whether it was NHL players, college players, high school players. I just find it fun. I watched World Juniors. You and me were glued to the TV watching Latvia, Czechia. So, like, you know, I just love watching hockey.
I hate, you know, taking a knee for 16 days during your season. Like,
I can understand why.
But again, it's not like you're going to be missing hockey because it's going to be at the highest possible level with the Olympics.
I guess we're getting rid of the bye, though, right?
Yeah, you would have to kind of condense it that way. So, you know, you don't want to have to go too deep into the season and start too early. So they'll just take the 16 days. And if you eliminate the bye, and I guess what would you do with the All-Star game? This would be kind of the all, because that's, you know, they're going to be doing it in February, right around the time you do the All-Star game.
So yeah.
I don't know if they just eliminate the All-Star game that year, which is probably what they would do.
And we just talked about how excited we are of all the changes and how fun it's been.
You're probably too young to remember, but like I remember how excited I was in Nagano in 98, even though the Americans were an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have it. I'll bring it in next time I'm in the studio.
Oh, in the little TV we got.
with the VHS. Yeah. I got the championship game or the gold medal game between Canada and the Czech Republic with Hasek with those saves, and they didn't use Wayne Gretzky in the shootout and all that.
I was three.
The negative thing about it for me, and I was working at the Fan at the time, and I was working overnight, so it didn't matter, but you know, these games are happening at 2 o'clock in the morning, so you didn't get much pop from it. Italy, what is it, a 5-6 hour time difference?
Sounds about right, yep.
I guess you'd have these games be played at a reasonable time, because mm-hmm. that was always my argument. It's like, listen, if face-off's going to be at 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast, then what pop are you getting from it? What exposure are you getting from it? It was great when it was in Salt Lake City in 2002. It was great in Vancouver in 2010 because the games were in North America and the games were at a normal time, and because they were both, you know, they were featured very highly, especially in Vancouver because it was a hockey city, so it was like the last event, right? That
yep.
gold medal game between the United States and Canada was like a big deal. So I'm with you. I'm for it. Like I said, I hate the delay and kind of what it does to the regular season.
I don't disagree.
And this takes you back, if you want to think about it, Anthony, one of the great Henrik Lundqvist moments was when Team Sweden won the gold medal and Hank was able to win the gold medal, and that was also in Italy back in 2006.
And that's why he has the moniker, contrary to the belief that people just think that he
right.
got a king moniker for doing nothing. He got it because he
right.
was the gold medal winner for Sweden, and of course their jerseys have the three crowns on it.
Yeah, and in Turin back in 2006.
And that's why he has that. Now, Don, there's one other thing I want to get to, and I know this has gone very long, but we're having fun. I'm having
yes.
fun. I love Kevin Weeks, and he is bringing NHL insider reporting into the 21st century, where he kind of says things, you know, not just 5 minutes before the press release comes out from the team that these other guys are probably blind CC'd on. And I mean that with all due respect. We heard about 2 weeks ago about Salt Lake having interest in a hockey team.
Yes.
Kevin Weeks is reporting this week that they're ready to break ground on an arena in Georgia. And one of the stipulations at the beginning of this plan was that there would be an NHL team in Georgia. So we talked about, if they're Salt Lake, are they going to stick with 33? Is it going to be 34? Unless somebody moves, Don, you're looking at a possibility of a 34-team NHL.
Well, that's what they want to do,
Salt
right?
Lake and Georgia.
Because the owners want the expansion money.
Who
and they want to open up a big television market in Atlanta. I think that's why they're hot. I even told you, I think, with the relationship with TNT and where they're located,
sure,
they'd love to be able to have a team back there. I don't have an appetite for it to be the third time around for Atlanta, but if you're telling me it's going to be an arena and that it was bad ownership with the Thrashers and that's why it didn't work the second time, okay. I can live with it. Utah, fine. You don't have any baseball or football to compete with. So you could have like the Jazz and whoever else in Utah. Although I'm hearing a lot of conversation
situation
about Utah. Just this is all just a ploy to scoop up the Coyotes, and the Coyotes would move to Utah, which would make perfect sense. They'd be able to stay in the Central Division.
I'd be fine with either, by the way.
And then that would still open up. Like if Atlanta's hot to get a team, and they still want to go to 34 teams.
You need another
Houston
team.
Houston would be that other expansion team. And I think that makes the most sense. I think Houston should have a team. You talked about having a second team in Texas, a natural rival for the Stars. There's a history in Houston going back to the Arrows with the AHL, with the, the WHA and Gordie Howe. And it's a huge populated city that's hungry for hockey as well. And I believe where the Rockets play, they would have a be able to play there. So that would make sense. Have the Coyotes move to Utah and then have the expansion be Houston and Atlanta, two big television markets with the new TV deals with
ESPN. Wow, that would be amazing.
So,
you think
again,
Quebec
I'm a
City's
little
out?
Nervous about going to 34. Quebec City's out for a bunch of reasons. There's no television money there. There's the worry about adding another Canadian team. That would be eight Canadian teams out of your 34. I guess, in this situation here. I'd love to see it. I just don't see an avenue. I don't. And unless you're telling me you want to expand to Quebec City, but if they're so hot for Atlanta, and then now how would it work if it's... Where would you put Houston now? Because Atlanta
Oh, I love Don. We could have a whole podcast
on this. This is really interesting because...
It's going in the binder.
Here's what I would suggest you do if you're going to go Houston. All right?
I'm listening.
Utah would be where the Coyotes are, so they stay in the Central Division. All right? Atlanta goes to the Metropolitan Division.
Yep.
And then you put Houston in the Central, and you move Nashville to the Atlantic.
As God intended.
It would still be an Eastern team that's not in the time zone.
That adds a team to the Metro, that adds a team to an Atlantic, and then you get two Central teams, you remove a Central team, that adds one. And the Pacific just...
Right, well, you've got 34 teams, so you can't balance it out.
Yeah, I can't. See, this is, again, the math thing.
So, now the question is, would you want... That's why I don't know why 34 works, because then you'd have the two extra teams in the East, and you'd be light two in the West. There's no way around that.
There's no way around... Yeah, no, I'm looking. I mean, you'd have to... Well, no, there is. You could bring Detroit back to the West again.
But you still, there's no way to divvy up the 34.
No, not evenly.
Equally.
Not evenly. No. But the way that they've done things now, Don, with the top three in the division and then the two wild cards, that's not necessarily terrible, I don't think. The way, like, if it was to be done. Now, we're talking so far down the road here because I know that because Vegas and Seattle have been relatively successful with what they've done, and that has a lot to do with the way that they've structured the ability for these teams to pluck guys better than what they did in the old days when they did expansion. There's an appetite to do it because of the vibe that they've gotten from Vegas and Seattle, and now you're talking about markets that Seattle was desperate for another team. You know, Utah would love a team. Is there, and as you've always pointed out, is there an appetite in Georgia? Houston, yes. Houston, there's clearly an appetite for sports, and there's clearly an appetite in Texas for hockey because Dallas has done pretty well for themselves as they've been so successful over the last couple of years. Oh, man, this would be so much fun, though.
Well, lots to discuss, and we did a lot today. So that was a lot of fun, a lot of heavy lifting for you, and I do appreciate it.
I did nothing, but I appreciate it.
But we'll try to hook back up with EJ. A lot of things we got to ask him about, these trades, the possibility of expansion, the NHL players going back to the Olympics in a few years. So we'll hopefully hook up with EJ on Monday. Enjoy the All-Star festivities in Toronto. We'll talk to you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.